So you get your BA at Southwestern and then your master's at Oklahoma State in 1976. And then why did you go back to get your PhD in history?
Well, when I went to OSU, I wanted to be a writer. In fact, coming out of Southwestern, where I had great history professors, I had an English teacher, Dr. Thomas, I'll never forget, English usage. We had to learn three different kinds of grammar. There's traditional, structural, and transformational. Most people don't even know there are different kinds of way to look at the English language and how to dissect it and use it, structure it. Dr. Thomas had us writing 300 words a day, and you never knew when he was going to pick up the journal, so you had to carry it with you, and you had to keep up. Like most of us college students interested in girls and where there's the next beer, and then do it all at the last minute. You had to write 300 words a day. Well, as I've learned, the 10,000-hour rule, to get good at anything, you do it 10,000 hours, then you can be a baseball player, you can be a musician, or a writer. Well, I learned the advantage of practice and writing and analyzing. And so coming out of Southwestern, I had good foundations, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And this would have been in May of 73 when I graduated Southwestern. I was dating a girl I had met the year before. She was from Woodward. She wanted to be a teacher. I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I says, I'm going to take a break. And so I worked a summer job on the Illinois River, Camp Paddle Trails, as a canoeing instructor, right up near the Arkansas border. Watts Lake is just across the, or excuse me, Lake Francis is just across the border, and then you have Watts was the closest little town. And every 2 weeks, I'd take a group down the Illinois River, 75 miles. Just had a great summer. Just a time to relax and rest and read. I took a stack of books and read as much as I could. And coming out of that, I was an old carpenter. I'd learned carpenter from an uncle. And so I started full-time carpentry in the summers at age 16, the minute I could drive. And so this would have been 60s when they were building houses everywhere. So I learned to be a frame-end carpenter. I had a talent for it, but so my uncle made me a cornice carpenter because I was careful. And redwood at the time was used for fascia. And I could come in and be creative and do carpentry. So I had my carpenter skills. I had my tools, tool belt. And at the time that minimum wage was $1.60 an hour, working at selling cameras at Montgomery Ward's, I could make $2.50 carpenter. So of course I wanted to be a carpenter. Well, that year I got my tool belt on and did a little work. Well, at some point I had about $400 in my pocket, the days when it was all cash. A cousin who had about $200, I said, let's go see the West. Okay. So we just quit everything. Our moms heard about it, freaked out, filled up the trunk of my 69 Chevy with food. Fortunately, they did that. We had a pup tent and a little cook stove. We didn't know where we were going. Just let's go till we run out of money. And we spent 6 weeks on the road, literally living in a pup tent, cooking over a stove, except in Las Vegas, $16 a night at a KOA where I could take a shower. Using a bonus buck in the Mint, I got a great all-you-can-eat meal for like $2. With bonus bucks, I won about $16 on the roulette that let us play the slots all night long. But the rest of the time it was sleeping on the side of the road or in a park somewhere. I had a great time. Good learning. But I learned I did not want to be in San Diego the last night. We were partying and took some sidetracks that I wasn't comfortable with. Next day I said, cousin, let's go home. Like Dorothy, no place like home. I had that feeling and that final understanding. You're not going to be any happier in San Diego or San Francisco than you're going to be wherever you are. Happiness is where you are at the moment. So literally, we drove home in 2 days. Fortunately, I had enough money to pay, the 32 cents a gallon of gas to get home. Put on the nail belt, just went out to construction sites, looked at a crew that I thought might look efficient. Hey, I'm a carpenter. I'll work for $3.25 an hour. Yeah, walk on. No unions in Oklahoma, so it was easy. And I'd found in California, you couldn't get a job without being a member of the union. So I could, and I had my tool belt with me there, thinking, well, if I end up, I could be a carpenter. Come back. Well, I'm working through the fall, into the winter, February of 74. Earlier, you and I were talking about moments in a person's life that changes all of a sudden. I was hanging rafters on a seven-pitch roof, and a seven-pitch roof is a pretty steep roof, and it was a big house. So I had scaffolding. It was a two-story house, so I was on scaffolding, two stories up, grabbing the rafters, putting them up against the ridge, nailing them in before nail guns. And it was so cold that day. I had on like six layers, and I had my gloves with the fingers cut out so I could grab the nails. And I was so cold, and I was thinking, you know, every day is kind of the same. A few challenges here, but I can't see doing carpentry the rest of my life. And I don't want to be cold the rest of my life. What do I want to do? So one of those moments, hey, I've got to make a decision. I can't drift and party every night and get that $120 in my pocket on Friday and spend it by Thursday. Those days are over. So I remembered a professor named Dr. Odie Falk. Odie had come to Southwestern my senior year. I'd been president of Phi Alpha Theta Group. So I was in charge of corresponding with him to come give a speech to our history group and faculty. Took him out for lunch. Had to introduce him. So I read his most recent book from Oxford University Press, History of Tombstone, Arizona. I just fell in love with his style. It was aggressive. It was kind of a Hemingway approach, hard-hitting, declarative sentences, getting into the story and the world. It was descriptive writing. Most historians write a hypothetical. I'm going to prove a point. Then you get up to the lyrical, the descriptive. And Odie was a descriptive writer. I thought, damn, that's good. So I knew about Odie from that experience. Took him to lunch. He was an old Marine. I kind of bonded with him. Well, in February, more than a year later, I call him on the phone. I say, Dr. Falk, this is Bob Blackburn. You may not remember me at Southwestern. And he acted like he did. I doubt if he did. I says, I want to do what you do. I want to write books. He says, I'm doing carpentry right now. Don't have any money. Don't have any financial support. Do you have any way that you could help me with financial? He said, no. Given out all my teaching assistantships, all the waivers, I've already gone through that for the next year. He said, but if you will come and enroll next fall, I'll take you on as a provisional student, master's level, see how you do. And then after a year, we'll evaluate. Do you have a future? Do I want you here? Do you want to be here? I says, you're on. So I started saving my money from that point on, February of 74. I got my commercial driver's license so I could drive a school bus in Stillwater. So every morning and afternoon, I had to break away. I had to take Spanish. You had to have two languages. So I was taking all my history courses. But fortunately, I had a good professor, Mike Smith, who drove me to Austin because he believed in what I was doing. I was studying a time when U.S. troopers invaded Mexico in 1873, chasing Indians and bandits. And so I was doing a history of that, but I needed access to some of the Spanish documents down at UT in Austin. He paid for my way, put me up, believed in me. I ran out of money. In April of that year, he let me shower in his house, living in my Volkswagen van that I had at the time. But through all of that, I was selected to read a paper at the Texas State Historical Association. And all of this impressed Odie enough that I was willing to work that hard. He says, okay, you can become a teaching assistant, $360 a month. I remember that figure because all of a sudden I felt like I was rich at $360 a month. And he says, I'll waive your tuition fees. And I read that paper at Texas State and Galveston. In that year, I started on my master's thesis, which was a history of the Highway Patrol.